Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Happy Tuesday to you and yours, and welcome in to another edition of Straight Up with Sturge. Willie P in for Sturge, along with Diesel, and we hope that you're making us a positive part of your Tuesday. Hope everything's going all right with you. Plenty to get to. It was a Talking Tuesday, which means both Dabo Swinney of the Clemson Tigers, Will Muschamp of the South Carolina Gamecocks, shared their thoughts on the upcoming matchups. We'll bring you a very generous and healthy portion of both of those two's comments this weekend. Or this Tuesday, in advance of this weekend, we should say. And, of course, it is a CNC Tuesday. Our pal Matt Connolly of the State Newspaper joins us in the final hour of the program. Take a little break and wait until that point for the Clemson Chatter. Our pal Colin Taylor, Gamecock Central. My man CT Crunch will join us about 20 minutes from now. We'll break down the Gamecocks from Gamecock Central. All in all, not a lot of news out of either of those camps today. Big games for both. South Carolina taking on Alabama. Clemson obviously taking on Syracuse. A little bit of the sheen has come off the orange, pardon the pun, as Syracuse lost last week to Maryland. Of course, there is a lot that Clemson has to play for. Not only its own pride, but also the fact that this is a game that has been rather perplexing to deal with for Clemson over the last 2 years. I was at both of them 2 years ago in Central New York. Kelly Bryant gets injured. I contend he shouldn't have played in the football game. Going into it, he had already had some hamstrings with an ankle injury affecting his mobility. And yet, Dabo Swinney insisted that he was okay, did not necessarily insist on putting another quarterback in the preparations for the game. Zerah Cooper was basically groomed as the number one backup for that game because his skill set so similarly represented that of Bryant's, and not who I thought was the better quarterback of the two of the backups, Hunter Johnson. Be that as it may, Bryant gets hurt on a short week, if you remember. They had to play that game on a Friday night in Central New York. So all the buzz was going crazy for that. All the dinosaur barbecue-fed, unwashed masses of Central New York had to take in and celebrate that whole darn thing. I was there. It ticked me off. And not because I'm necessarily a positive Clemson person, but because I abhor Syracuse and everything they stand for. We have way too many people in this business who went there and crow about any particular time that that school does anything other than throw up on itself. I was listening to noted Syracuse grad Jason Smith, who hosts on another network that competes with ESPN. And it was just insane. It was terrible. I hated it. Didn't like any bit of it. It was in a rental car, having to drive from Syracuse to Canastota, where my uncle and my aunt live. And it was awful. Hated it. So when they came back and won last year, that was nice. But I think Syracuse, there has some unfinished business there from a Clemson perspective. Because Clemson, I would argue, took them incredibly lightly 2 years ago. Last year, circumstances being what they were, Trevor didn't have the best start. He had the situation where he should have slid, and they found themselves behind the sticks early because they had to go to Chase Bryce. And then, basically, Dabo Swinney threw the game plan, tore the cover off the flight plan, if you will, and said, we're just going to run the football as much as we possibly can because we know they can't stop it. Until that 4th and 6 where Chase Bryce had to make one key throw, and he did so on the 4th down, that saved Clemson's season and saved their undefeated run all the way to a national championship. much like last week, Dabo Swinney will not have to do any extra histrionics or mental gymnastics to get Clemson up for this matchup. He said today, the team continues to take his edge, and Syracuse will not surprise them as they did 2 years ago.
First division game for us on the road at a place where we lost 2 years ago. Great environment. They do an awesome job up there, and we're going to have to play well. Simple as that. Got a lot of respect for Syracuse. They beat us 2 years ago, and then last year, had us on the mat for a two count, and we were able to get up and find a way to win the game. Very fortunate. So got a lot of respect for Syracuse. Our team has a lot of respect for Syracuse. Dino's done a great job up there, and we're very well aware of the type of effort and energy and toughness that we will face in this Syracuse team. You know, last week's game got away from them, but that won't be the version of Syracuse that we'll see. So we're excited about the challenge again.
That is, of course, Dabo Swinney speaking earlier today at the Reeves Center and the fantastic indoor facility there. And because of the issues that befell them over the last 2 years, a lot of them very, very unique. There were some issues in the secondary 2 years ago. A lot of those manifested itself last year. Dungy being a mobile guy was part of that. Saw a lot of the same issues with Kellen Mott. Now, as a result, Dungy no longer there. They bring in DeVito, Tommy DeVito. No, not Tommy DeVito of the Four Seasons. Tommy DeVito of the Syracuse Orange. He is, of course, a part of this team now, and because of that, he will come into a much different situation and scenario that this Eric Dungy situation will be at. But, of course, now you wonder whether or not Clemson will have Syracuse has Clemson's full attention, and also whether they can execute that game plan. Conversely to South Carolina, South Carolina has the number two team in the nation coming to town this weekend. This is the heavy part of the toughest schedule in all of college football. They take on a Crimson Tide team that, quite honestly, if you watch college football, even in a casual level, you know very well. All the principles are the same. Tua, Waddle, Judy, the whole bit. You know what they do well. They do well with the passing game. They do well with the running game. There really isn't much that they don't do well. And because of that, Will Muschamp knows that his team needs to be especially on point, very similarly to Clemson. They won't have to get the players up for this one. But last time they played a big stage game, last year against Georgia at Williams-Brice Stadium, this team laid an egg, and he'll have to make sure that that does not happen this time around.
Offensively, it all starts with the quarterback, too, is an outstanding player, very accurate with the football, close to 80% this year as far as his completion percentage. He has legs. He can create off-rhythm plays, as we say, that are very difficult to defend. He's thrown it to a really skilled group down the field, but he's a really good football player. Receiver Judy and Waddle and Ruggs and Smith are all very talented guys that can run extremely well on the top end, but also guys in the underneath coverages can catch the ball in space and make plays for him, and they've made a bunch for him in the last couple of years. So, we've got our work cut out for us as far as that's concerned. They've recruited really well through running back position, big backs. They're always big up front on the offensive line. Defensively, very physical, tough to move up front. You know, Davis and Dale's as a freshman is going to be a really good player for him. Ray, then the two guys on the edges, Lewis and Jennings, really create some fast twitch rush for you on the perimeter, and they're really talented on the back end. So really well coached, obviously, on defense. Special teams, they've got good specialists, and Waddle as a returner probably is as good a guy as there is in our league and maybe in the country. So we got our work cut out for us as far as teams is concerned and a lot of space plays that they'll try and create.
Will Muschamp speaking earlier today at the Long Family Complex, and again, they are getting ready for Alabama. It's a 3:30 kick inside Williams-Brice Stadium. It'll be the national game featured on CBS. Again, last time they played in that stage was a year ago around this time when they played Georgia. And let's be frank, folks, this is a real tough spot for this team. But I maintain that I think they're going in with a much better situation. And I don't want to say I'm more confident with Ryan Helinski at the helm against Alabama, but they have the better quarterback when it comes to the ones who they could choose on the roster I think after last week, we all saw that he could be competent. Now, it's a significant step up in class. No one's doubting that. No one is saying that what he did against Charleston Southern is automatically going to transfer and extrapolate itself against the Crimson Tide. It would be foolish to think that. But because of where he has been in his career and all the plaudits that have been thrust upon him, he talked about playing this game, this particular game, in his recruitment. He thought, hey, maybe if Jake goes pro and he comes in, wins the starting job out of camp, he could be starting at home during the third week of the season against the Crimson Tide. This is not something that's novel to him. This is why he was recruited to play at South Carolina for games of this nature. They would put him out there if they didn't think he could perform. They'd put Joyner out there, they'd put Urich out there, or some combination to try and at least throw something at the wall. He has competence. He has competence of the offense. He showed that he could throw the deep ball against Charleston Southern. They're going to disguise coverages, be a lot more complex than what the Bucks were even able to do against him last week. But we're seeing again, more and more, is that these true freshmen, this crop of quarterbacks, whether it's this year or an evolution that has continued to manifest itself over the last couple of years, is that they're more prepared. They are more of the cutting edge. They are more the vintage that is actually able to have success on the college level. Dabo put it best last week when talking about it in a general fashion. The high school offenses have become what these coaches now innovate from. It's no longer a top-down model. The pros are taking after college. College is taking after high school. It used to be the opposite. Now, it seems that the innovators are walking in very much like you would in, say, a technology field. The youth has the advantage. There was a very interesting time in our business at the same way, where if you had youth, the ability to use digital editing software, the ability to use social media, the ability to use certain things like Twitter and Periscope and things of that nature, you were looked at as an asset in this business over somebody who ordinarily would have been experienced, was now looked at as a dinosaur. And it's not to say that Jake Bentley was a dinosaur, but you knew what he was at South Carolina. He had proved his worth to you, and his worth had a ceiling. The difference with Hilinski is it doesn't appear that he has a ceiling, and that ceiling can only be realized by what he does against the best competition. And that is going to come manifest itself for the first time on Saturday at Williams-Brice Stadium. Do I think South Carolina is going to win? Absolutely not. Do I think there are going to be opportunities for him to shine? Sure. Do I think they're probably going to be outweighed by the opportunities that overwhelm him? Possibly. Am I going to keep answering my own questions and make myself sound smart, Diesel? Yes, I am. We hope to also have you join the program as well, 844-GSP-ESPN. Text line's open, 71307. Be sure to use the text line and ESPN in the body of the text so that we can differentiate them from all the other messages that come through into our building. Coming up, Colin Taylor of Gamecock Central, who was at the Talking Tuesday, will tell us what has to happen short of a nuclear holocaust for South Carolina to beat Alabama on Saturday. And more importantly, are there steps to gain for the Gamecocks without a victory against the Crimson Tide? Happy to have you in on a Tuesday afternoon and evening. We're also going to get the Diesel's blog that he wrote on our big conversation yesterday that really has you and me kind of perplexed as to why people are still doing this and being on the side that they are. And I cannot believe it, but we have a bipartisan strategy and initiative in this building that both Mark Ryan and I are on the same side of. World peace can be achieved in the upstate of South Carolina. Hope you're enjoying yourself on a Tuesday afternoon and evening. Willie P. in for Sturge on ESPN Upstate.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Real quick, what city am I in?
Greenville.
Okay. I just wanted to be sure. Did a little traveling over the last couple days, so... So bad. I feel like I have to ask that to people on a daily basis. That's literally my life right now. It's time to welcome in our good friend Colin Taylor, Gamecock Central. He was, of course, in Columbia earlier today and at the Long Family Training Complex as the Gamecocks get ready for Alabama. As things start here, Colin, you know, I understand the way that this works. South Carolina comes in a massive underdog. Do they feel as if they are, and not only from Muschamp, but from the player standpoint, do they feel as if they have nothing to lose going into this week?
Yeah, it's one of those where it's very weird. They seem very optimistic just in conversations with players today and Muschamp and they're a program that models themselves after Alabama and have some talent. I know Brian Edwards talked about thinking that they can get some deep shots down in man-to-man coverage. So I think they have a shot. Odds makers obviously don't, but I guess time will tell.
It's odd to me, Colin, because this is a game for them that would be one of the two toughest, this one and obviously Clemson. They get them both in their building. But the real thing is that people have a hard time flushing what happened in Charlotte out of their minds. Did anything you saw last Saturday flush the capabilities that this team has inside of them to underperform? Did that flush any of that out of your mind?
Not really. I think everyone's kind of still in the wait-and-see mode with this team right now, just because, yes, they put up record numbers against Charleston Southern, but Charleston Southern's not a good team by FCS standards, let alone FBS standards. So I kind of compare what happened last week to getting that piece of sorbet at the end of a hibachi dinner to kind of cleanse the palate. That's kind of what Saturday was. So, they really can't gain a lot from looking back at that film, but it's just a way to kind of put at least a little bit of it behind them.
Colin Taylor, Gamecock Central, joining us here on ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, and the Radio.com app. What did Ryan Helinski prove to you with his first collegiate start?
He proved that he can make some throws. They didn't do a whole lot of complex stuff, obviously, but that dime to Brian Edwards for 60 yards was a thing of beauty. He showed some moxie, looked good doing it. I'll be interested to see what happens when he has to face a lot of pressure. They stayed in a lot of max protect stuff and didn't really do a whole lot of interesting things in terms of schematically. But he can throw a pretty deep ball, can lead a team, is very excited about I think fans should be excited about what he can do on the field.
It's obvious to me that you look at him and you see his competitive nature, you see what he did in high school, and you obviously see what everybody has said about him. I'll ask you just straight out, does he have the most potential on this football team at the quarterback position, even if Jake Bentley is healthy?
Potential, absolutely. Just because I think you've seen what Jake Bentley is and what Jake Bentley can be. But Ryan Helinski has this mystique that when he committed, and just because he has been in the spotlight and so vocal on Twitter that fans love him. Fans are really confident in his abilities, and I know the coaches are too. So potential, yeah, he has hands down the most potential on this team in terms of being a guy that South Carolina coaches think that he's the guy that can get them to where they want to be.
Talking, of course, with Colin Taylor of Gamecock Central here on ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, Radio.com app, South Carolina and Alabama on Saturday at Willie B. You know, Colin, it's odd to me looking at the Bentley situation now that we know he's out for the season. It's obviously going to be a situation where Will Muschamp is going to have to weigh the positives and negatives with potentially bringing him back, depending on how Holinsky goes. I asked you the question last week, has Bentley played his last game at South Carolina? I'll ask you again, do you believe that's the case?
I still think so. A lot obviously still hinges on how Holinsky plays down the stretch. You've only seen him throw 30 times in a Gamecock uniform. So, yeah, smart money probably is on he'll grad transfer, but I think that's probably the smartest move for him to kind of get a clean slate and start anew and hopefully see where that takes you.
I know a lot of people were excited about Kevin Harris's contribution in the game. Did he earn himself some more run, or again, was it that just more the competition that he played against?
It could be a little bit of both. I think it is. When he got into the game, I think Charleston Southern was a little bit in checkout mode, which is why he rattled off, I think, 3 40-plus yarders, including a 75-yard touchdown run. So he's got talent. The coaches really liked him in spring and fall camp. So I think you'll start to see more carries from him, but how much, I don't know. And I think Rico Dowdle and Tavian Feaster are still obviously 1A and 1B heading into the rest of the year.
And it's odd because, you know, the running game looked so good to start against North Carolina, and then it just kind of sputtered and fizzled out. You know, I'm wondering, and we asked the question too with you last week about whether or not this offense ever gets handcuffed by Muschamp. What needs to happen for them to at least feel like they can kind of turn things loose a bit?
I think they're going to need to have a good offensive showing against Alabama or another one of these really good teams to kind of feel that they have, and you have what it kind of takes. You saw it a little bit last year when they played Ole Miss. They had that really good offensive showing, and they followed that up with two or three other really good offensive showings. So I think that needs to happen. I think getting everything situated on the offensive line is a big key. That way those five guys can kind of communicate a little bit better and kind of know how to work as a unit. I think they finally have their five settled. So putting things all together and kind of doing it in a game is a big deal for them, and then kind of getting everything situated up front is, I think, priority number one.
Colin Taylor of Gamecock Central joining us here on ESPN Upstate. I'll ask it this way. Was Charleston Southern a blessing in disguise for them having an opponent of this nature before Alabama, or would they have benefited more from a, say, group of five team or even another conference opponent? Would that have been better as a gradual step up to facing Bama as opposed to going back to an FCS and then all of us to get the kinks out, and then all of a sudden you got the number two team in your country in your backyard?
I think if you had told me at the beginning of the season or asked me that at the beginning of the season, I would have said it's bad for them because I thought they were going to beat North Carolina pretty handily. But after losing that opener, having an FCS and what happened with Jake Bentley, having an FCS opponent is probably was the best thing for them to kind of get Holinsky's feet under him a little bit, get the offensive confidence at least somewhat back, get the defense kind of pieced together and their confidence built up too. So I think it was a nice just palate cleanser, kind of drain the system from that North Carolina game and then start anew with the 10-game season starting with Alabama.
Are you and Shells just going to a lot of hibachi restaurants and not inviting me? Like what's the deal here?
Yeah, no, hibachi is amazing.
I understand.
That's if you're looking for good stuff in Columbia, Makino's and Irmo,
gotcha. Usually
the best by gotcha. Far.
Love that free plug there. I'm sure they'll give you a nice little nice shrimp appetizer on that. Are there areas where South Carolina can exploit a favorable matchup against Alabama, or is it just Crimson Tide across the board?
It's on paper. It looks like Crimson Tide across the board. I think anytime you have Shai Smith and Brian Edwards, that's good for you. You've seen it before, and Josh Cantle asked the question today and make some good points that to beat Alabama, you're going to have good wide receiver play. You saw it in 2010. You saw it in the national championship game last year. Those guys are going to have to go make plays, and I think South Carolina has two really good playmakers on the outside with Edwards and Shai Smith to at least make that happen. Now, will they? I don't know, but at least they have what I believe to be the playmakers to at least get some consistency on the outside.
Can this team gain a positive without actually getting a victory?
Oh, absolutely. I think if they play him within 15 points, that's a good for you, because you kind of take the big picture and say you were starting a freshman quarterback. You're still kind of piecing things together there. And that's a kind of a big thing. And plus, you know, you're not on Alabama's level yet if you're South Carolina. So playing close, I think, is a big deal. You obviously want to win the game, but there are ways to have positives without a win.
Last one for you. Is it more likely that this game could potentially get them a win on their schedule you didn't envision, or do you think it could go the other way?
Say that again.
Could a win or could a good showing against Alabama potentially get them a win during this season that they potentially could get down the road, or do you think it could have a negative effect, being that this game you lose against Alabama could maybe cause another loss to happen?
No, I don't think it'll cause another loss to happen, because I think most fans at the beginning of the year would have thought that this would have been a loss to begin with. But if you put together a good showing, if Helinski looks really good, that could build some confidence. And you have two really, really important games the next 2 weeks after Alabama, in Missouri and Kentucky, that Helinski's confidence is going to need to be there for. So, yeah, I think definitely if you have a good enough showing, that this could springboard you into some a win against a Missouri, Kentucky, A&M, Florida, somewhere in that mess.
You can find his stuff at Gamecock Central. Always appreciate the time with Colin Taylor. It's a CNC Tuesday. That's why we have him on every week at this time. Appreciate the time as always, Colin. We'll see you Saturday at Willie B.
Awesome. Enjoyed having me. Enjoyed coming on, guys.
That is Colin Taylor, Gamecock Central, here on ESPN Upstate. We'll come back. We'll hear from some Gamecock player. We'll hear from some Gamecock head coach, Will Muschamp. Some Gamecock head coach. Easy for me to say. We'll find out what Will Muschamp learned in his time with Nick Saban, how much he buys into the familiarity with Saban, and what Ryan Helinski showed the head coach in his first start as a quarterback. We'll also hear from some Clemson side of things as well. We'll hear from Dabo Sweeney in our second hour, and also hear from Matt Connolly of the state newspaper later on today. And also, I want to kind of take a shot at Alabama, because they are starting to cry and whine a little bit, and I want to make sure that that they don't have their britches in a tizzy over something that I find to be petty. And we're also going to get Diesel's response to the folks who were angry at him about complaining about Clemson fans booing injured players, or pseudo-injured players, if you will. Coming your way on a Tuesday edition, Willie P. in for Sturridge, ESPN Upstate.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Everyone's just kind of in a weird mood today. Mark even said it. There's something in the water. I don't know what it is. It's a weird day. Normally things on a Tuesday aren't this dead during the football season. I don't know what it is. Just something in the water. Don't know what it is. But anyway, it is what it is here. And we will at least try to keep you entertained here on ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, radio.com app. Looks like the Jets have sent Demaryius Thomas, or are going to acquire Demaryius Thomas from the New England Patriots. What do the Patriots know about Demaryius Thomas that the Jets don't know? Those two teams never have trades. That's weird. They also are going to sign a brand new kicker as well after their kicker ate the bed, if you will, in the opening portion of the NFL season. By the way, we will get into the bipartisan stance that I have on kickers that manifested itself last night in the Monday night game. 844-GSP-ESPN, the phone number, 71307 is the text line. Let's go to Delvin, who's calling in Fountain Inn. And Delvin, you are on ESPN Upstate.
How you doing, man?
What's up, dude?
Yeah, you're talking about Jake Bennett. I agree with you. He has reached his ceiling. You know what you got with him. And with Helinski, you don't know yet. You don't know how you can handle the big game pressure. You never know. He can come out red hot this Saturday against Alabama and show what kind of great quarterback he is. But like you said, we know what we got with Jake Bentley. Ron Helinski, you're gonna find out some things this Saturday.
I think you'll find out some things as well, Delvin. And I think a lot of it too is really what I would think is it'd be very interesting to kind of see how South Carolina game plans this, because I know that from Will Muschamp's perspective, they believe that they have some opportunities to exploit some things, and they see themselves very similarly to Alabama as they would normally. And I also think, too, that this is the part of this you have to understand, too, is that the games like they'll play on Saturday are a big recruiting tool for South Carolina. So that part of it, at least from their perspective, is something that they look at and they say, oh my goodness gracious, we need to be on our keys, so to speak. We need to make sure that we don't lay an egg. They've laid eggs in games like this in the past. Think about the Georgia game a year ago. Think about Clemson 3 years ago. These are games that they have to win. You know, Muschamp does not need to be reminded about his lack of luck or lack of fortune or lack of performance in games against ranked teams. He doesn't need to be told the fact that he hasn't beaten a ranked team since Tennessee his opening year, and there are a lot of people who question whether or not Tennessee should have even been a ranked team at that point in 2016. 844-GSP-ESPN, the phone number, 71307 on the text line. Put ESPN in the body of that text, please, so that you can have us read your text on the air. Let's go to Dan, who is calling in Greer. And Dan, you are on ESPN Upstate.
Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to mention something that I haven't heard discussed, and was something I noticed last year and the year before regarding the Carolina offensive and defensive linemen.
Sure.
And I mean, it's a simple thing, but what I noticed is they were outsized, physically outsized in appearance in the big games. And I'm just going to simply state, if that's the same thing that we're dealing with this year in terms of size, then I don't give South Carolina much of a chance to win. Now, I know Hart plays a big role in it, but I just wanted to mention that and get your thoughts. Thank you.
You're not wrong about that. I know a lot of people who have said going into the year that South Carolina looked different, at least on the defensive front. And that's the thing that made what happened against North Carolina so very jarring, is that there was a physical nature change. And it's hard being able to see it in the fall, like you see it in fall practice, because they're going up against themselves. You have no juxtaposition ability. You have no way to compare it to an outside source. It's hard to take what you see in person with South Carolina and compare it to what is happening on the field until you see them play each other on the field. And you know, one thing that I always tell people, the first time I ever got to see Alabama in person was in 2012 when I saw them play in Columbia, Missouri against the Tigers the first year that they joined the SEC. And it was at that point I understood the power of not only an SEC recruiting program, but also what Alabama does that Missouri and other schools that aren't on Alabama's level doesn't do. And that is, even when you see them on a kick return squad, they are out muscling and out physicaling the opposition. The fact that they can put guys on special teams that have the kind of physical makeup and capabilities that outshine the opposition the way that they do is what makes them dominant. So, no. Do I think South Carolina has the physical head-to-head makeup that will rival an Alabama on either line of scrimmage? No. Do I think there are going to be some situations where they might have to put an attached tight end or maybe move Chandler Farrell in to get max protection on the on passing downs? I think absolutely. But I also think there are ways that you can get Alabama off balance with the horizontal passing game, with some misdirection type stuff, reverses and whatnot. And again, it will have them also need to stay with the run. Like, that's the part of this that needs to be able to happen, is that South Carolina needs to prove that they can run the football against Alabama, because if they don't, they have no shot, because you're basically throwing Ryan Helinski to the wolves. And if they can't establish the run early, often, and not give up on it, then they have absolutely no chance to stay competitive in this game. 844-GSP, ESPN is the phone number. Of course, Will Muschamp speaking a lot and was asked a lot today about his relationship with Nick Saban. He was asked what he learned, at least in his time with him at LSU.
Well, you know, I learned a lot. I mean, as far as, you know, obviously from a scheme standpoint, I think, you know, you got to be philosophically aligned with him as far as the things how he sees the game. Played offense, defense, and special teams. So obviously from a scheme standpoint, I learned a lot. But, you know, the evaluation process and the recruiting, as far as the critical factors we look for and define for every position, and I think really even took that a step further when I went to the Miami Dolphins and was a part of the draft and going and working players out and really narrowed down exactly what we look for by position. And the evaluation process, I think, really helped me and our programs moving forward as far as those things, as far as all-season program, how we ran the all-season program. We do very similar things in the all-season program. You know, how we install in training camp, how we install in spring ball, how we do spring ball. Our summer programs are very similar as far as, you know, the players are concerned and what we do. How we practice is very similar to what we did when I was with Nick. So, you know, we've carried over a lot of things that obviously work extremely well, but I learned a lot.
Will Muschamp speaking on what he learned at LSU. He was also asked whether or not the familiarity of playing a coach that you know necessarily has any impact. And, of course, as it will always come up with a former Saban assistant, you know, Saban's impeccable record and the fact that he has never lost to somebody who he has had as a protege in time in college football. Muschamp was asked about that connection.
I don't think it has a whole lot of bearing on the game. It's the players that line up between the white lines when the game kicks off, and it's 11 in Alabama and there's 11 from South Carolina, and those guys will determine the outcome of the game. And, you know, obviously we got to do a great job of preparing our team, but the familiarity on each side of things, I think, is a little blown out of proportion as far as those things are concerned. You can overthink this thing too. And I haven't worked for Nick since 2005. It's a long time ago. You got to beat Alabama. And at the end of the day, they're not going to beat themselves. They're well coached. They've got good players. But you've got to go beat Alabama. You got to have an aggressive mindset when you go into the ball game. You got to do the simple things really well in the game. And you can't start trying to play out of what you normally do. At the end of the day, there's going to be 4 to 6 plays in this game that are going to determine the outcome of the game, just like every other game we play. And we've got to outwork this football team for 60 minutes and be in position in those 4 to 6 plays to win the game. And that's no different than any other game. And don't treat it any different than any other game.
Will, what can establishing a strong run game against a defense that's probably going to try to put a lot of pressure on Ryan this weekend?
Well, there's no question to be able to – you can't get into a one-dimensional game against this group because they rush the passer extremely well, especially with Lewis and Jennings on the edge, and they've got great push in the middle with Davis and and Dale is a young player in Ray. So, you know, to be able to run the football is certainly something we're planning on trying to be able to do in the game.
That is a little bit of Will Muschamp speaking to a very interesting scenario that they will play this week when they take on an Alabama team that, look, you know, the road to victory for them is a very peculiar one, and because of that, you'll have to have some things go your way. You know, crowd's going to have to be a big factor. There's going to be a lot of people who come in from out of town that are Bama fans that come in and be a part of that. But I do think that this will have to be the kind of scenario like we saw 9 years ago. You're going to have a standout performance that you weren't expecting from a player, whether it's Garcia like you had 9 years ago, whether it's Helinski this year. Could he be the Steven Garcia of 2019? We don't know. Could we have a situation where Rico Dowdle rushes for 200 yards or Tavian Feaster does the same thing or Brian Edwards catches 10 balls for 120 or 200 yards? It's gonna need to have a standout performer along with a lot of ancillarily exemplary performers, so to speak. 844-GSP ESPN, the phone number, 71307 is the text line. We'll come back. Want to get into this story here. Odell Beckham Jr. made some waves with an interesting wardrobe choice in his first game. Let's just say it didn't help them on the field. You know the Browns lost. He says he's doubling down. We'll tell you why and how when we come back. ESPN Upstate. Willie P and Diesel back here with you on a Tuesday, ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, Radio.com app. I believe this is probably the best that I've conformed to the clock, as it were, in a long time. So we actually are on time in an hour for once, which I think is something to be proud of. Again, it is more of an indication of kind of where the menu is today. And again, it's going to be a lot of alphabet soup today, a lot of stew on the menu today. Odell Beckham Jr. plans to be continuing to wear his $190,000 watch. He says, I'll still be wearing it the same way I wear it every day when I go to practice. When I go here, I go there. I've been wearing it. Take a shower with it on. It's just me. And NFL spokesman Mike Signora said earlier in the week, while the league has no rules prohibiting jewelry, it does have a policy of prohibiting hard objects. He said the league would address the matter with Beckham and the Browns, who play against the New York Jets on Monday Night Football. He countered that the Richard Mill timepiece, which retails to about $190,000, is plastic and shouldn't be an issue, although Beckham indicated he hasn't spoken to the league yet.
Why are these things? Why are these players creating these kind of issues?
He's getting paid. He's getting paid to wear that watch, probably.
I mean,
he's getting paid to wear the watch.
Ridiculous. This right here is why I hate the NFL. This is why I won't watch it. Because there's idiots like this who say, oh, I'm going to play in my watch. Well, you can't play in your watch. Well, I'm going to anyway. Really?
Well, at least he's not taking the watch and, you know, say, I don't know, putting it up as, I don't know. I'm doing the Pulp Fiction line. No? No?
He wore this uncomfortable hunk of metal up as you know what. Now I bring it here to you.
This watch. The watch. You give me the watch. There's so many. We couldn't even play that clip because of all the racial epithets in that particular clip.
He'd be damned if they get their hands on it.
We'll come back. Nick Saban's got an issue. So does Alabama, and I got an issue with them. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly
Auto Parts.